Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5, if you would, please. And we're going to continue to talk about the commitment of our time. If you would, please stand out of love and respect for the Word of God if you are physically able. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll begin in verse 7 tonight. I'll read. You follow along. It says this: "Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then, that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Last week I mentioned the facts to you that we all have time, right? We're given time. Time is one of those things that cannot be manufactured. It cannot be made up. But we can use that which we have wisely. And when we use that which we have wisely, that's called redeeming the time. Okay? We're using it for the correct purposes. All right? And guess what? The more we use it for the correct purposes, the more time we have. And I put that in quotes because we're not creating more time. It's just a wiser use of that time, right? And of course, what's the opposite of that? Wasting time, okay? Which we're all really good at, okay? I promise you, everyone in this society today is really good at wasting time, all right? This is kind of the nature of things today. Now, we need to be less good at wasting time and more good at using time wisely or redeeming the time. Now, with that said, last week we talked about giving our time to God ought to be a priority in our life. We need to prioritize God's time first. I used the idea of a tithe. I used the idea of 2 hours and 24 minutes every day belong to God. And you know what? God deserves the best. He doesn't deserve the leftover time. And let me just give you an idea. I hope you understand. I'm kind of more of a night owl. I do better staying up a little bit later. Now, you would think, Pastor, you're a morning person. Well, I kind of am, but I am guilty of hitting the snooze button. Okay? I do that. And here's another thing that happens to me. If I don't get a chance to kind of wake up and get going, if I try to read my Bible right away in the morning, I fall back asleep. Okay? How many of you say, well, that's okay, God understands? Well, he may understand, but how about I give him a little better chunk of time where I can be totally conscious and not fall back asleep? Okay? I mean, wouldn't that be better? We need, whatever time it is, it doesn't say in anywhere before you do anything else, you have to spend time with God. Now, if that's you and that's the way you get it in, that's great. But you understand, it's a flexible thing. We need to prioritize when we give it to God. If you find yourself saying, "Okay, I'll do it at this time," but as your day goes on and things snowball, you become like the doctor's office and pretty soon you're 4 hours behind schedule, right? And then you never get to it. See, that's the danger. That's why a lot of people like to schedule it first thing, because then they can put the time in and nothing snowballs it out of the picture. Okay? So whoever you are and whatever you are, whatever the case may be, just make sure that the time you have with God on a daily basis is a priority in your life. And that you individually and personally worship God. You read your Bible, you pray, you worship God, you study the Word of God, you have a personal relationship. We haven't talked about this specifically yet, but we will in the future, because I told you we have a whole year of Sundays worth of messages on prayer, okay? So I've got to partition them, and I can't get too far ahead of myself, because then the cart gets in front of the horse, right? And that's not a good thing. We want the horse to pull the cart, not to be pushed by the cart, right? And so, but we will talk about this thing of what Matthew says about the prayers being in secret. We first travail personally with God, right? And then the public adoration and the public prayer and the public worship happens. It starts with the individual. We individually need time with God. And so that has got to be a priority. Now, last week I did not have time to just kind of wrap things up on that particular point. And so I'm going to, and then we're going to get into the next point about our time. Thirdly, not only should we prioritize it, and not only should it be personal, but we need to make sure we do not confuse activity or busyness with worship and devotion. Okay? We need to separate the two. Okay? Let me put it to you this way. Remember a couple of characters in the Bible named Mary and Martha. Right? Mary and Martha, Luke chapter 10, in verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Just stop there. It's kind of like the question that the disciples asked in the boat, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Right? I mean, yes, he cares. Jesus cares. But Martha, you're not asking the right question. Just like the disciples weren't asking the right question. Yeah, why do you ask that the Lord cares? Of course the Lord cares. And by the way, God did care about Martha and her serving, but he wanted her to understand that wasn't the priority. That wasn't the most important thing. And she said to him, bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. What Martha needed to understand is when Jesus came to visit, instead of trying to put on a good show for Jesus, which is what she was trying to do, right? Being a good hostess, serving him and providing a meal for him. And all, what she probably should have done first, and what we should all probably do first in our lives when it comes to our relationship with Christ, is spend time with him and then do. That's what he's trying to tell her. He said, Martha, look, no, I'm not going to tell Mary to come help you. And this is, again, you're going to have to read into it a little bit here, but I believe this is what he was telling her. You should have been here with Mary at my feet first, and then you both could have gone and served. Again, I always told you that. I'll tell you what's my opinion. That's my opinion of what he was saying. But does you understand what we for instance, in a local church, we can become busy about the work of the ministry and forget about the Lord of the ministry. We can get to the point where we're so busy that we're not spending time with Him anymore. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, remember what it says in Revelation chapter 2. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Great church! Hard-working church! Laboring church! And then Jesus says this, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. That's what happens. When we get so busy, and this is not just about serving in the local church, but sometimes our lives get so busy and we forget about God. And we don't give Him that 2.5 hours a day. And we don't spend the time with Him. And we say, okay, well, but my 2.5 hours, I was out, you know, visiting the homeless and the widows, and I was feeding the orphans, and I went to the church, and I mowed the lawn, and I did all these things, and you know, I helped these people and helped those people. I was serving God. But when did you worship God? When did you spend time with Him? When did you sit at His feet? He said, Martha, Martha, I'm not gonna tell her to do this. I'm not gonna take this away from her, because it's the most important thing. So we got to understand that these things are so important. Remember the words of this beautiful song. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in Him always and feed on His word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing His blessings to seek. You understand that this thing is not just about doing. Again, doing is great. But don't get cumbered about by these things and count that as the time with God. It can be part of the time with God. That's okay. But don't substitute it. Because that sitting at Jesus' feet part is very special. It's very important. And we need to make sure we consider that. Now, with that having been said, we need to make sure that we have our personal lives in check. But there's another element of this thing of the stewardship of time, and I'm just going to introduce it tonight, and it's going to be that of the time that we spend concerning our families. Let me ask you a question. When people ask me, well, I'm going to ask you a question by making a statement, and then it's going to be the kind of like question, okay? People ask me this. Whose idea was it to have all these children? Can you imagine people asking me that? Okay? How many of you have asked me that question? I think several of you have. Okay? All right? And guess what I usually answer, and if I didn't answer you this way, I'm sorry, I should have. I'm going to say it was God's idea. Okay? Because it was. The Bible tells us that he who findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Ladies, you should all, you know, wave fans, cheer, holler, whatever you want to do. The guys, you should be saying amen, right? Otherwise, your wives will poke you. And they should poke you. Poke. Yeah, ow. I love it. Great response. My wife's in the nursery, so I don't have to worry about it. God has ordained the family unit. Just go back and read the book of Genesis. You'll understand, okay? So God loves the family. He wants the family to be successful, and He wants it to be ordered according to His purpose, right? And so guess what that takes? That takes time. Today in our society, the family is a burden. Okay, kids are a burden. Kids are an interruption to what I want to do. That's how this world sees families. That's how this world sees husband and wife relationships. Just look around. He has his bank account. She has her bank account. She has her car. He has his car. Everything is his and hers. What happened to ours? I mean, in my household, what's hers is hers and what's mine is hers. Come on, guys. You're supposed to be... I'm trying to give you some help here to have a happy life, right? Happy wife, happy life. Amen. All right. I thought this would be a good amen sermon. I mean, you guys can get on board here with me. I'm trying to give you ammunition, but no. I mean, we've lost some things in our society today concerning the family. And for all intents and purposes, the family as it should be is defunct in our society today. Okay? It's all messed up. And even how some Christians think about the family unit today is messed up. Because they've let that world saturate into their little brains, and it's no longer how God created the family, it's now how society says the family is supposed to be. And let me tell you, folks, that's a problem. That's a big problem. And so what we need to understand is that when we get up to be a part of a family, time is essential. And the investment of time in a family is important. When I became a husband, it was no longer my time. It was now our time. And guess what? You may not think this of me. You may not know this about me, but I'm selfish. I love me. I do. And I know all y'all do too. You love me, that is. I got you there. But no, and you know what? I like to watch sports. I like to go hunting. I like to do these things. I like to sometimes be by myself. You say, Pastor, you do? Well, I actually do every once in a while. You say, but you're such a people person and you like to be around people. I do like that also, but I do like to be by myself sometimes. But you know what? Over 20 years of being married, I need to make sure that I'm giving my wife the time that she needs. And guess what? I hopefully have learned a little bit, and she's getting more of it than she got when we first got married. Because it's something we have to kind of grow into. Because you know what? As human beings, we're all kind of selfish. And the same is true of wives to their husbands. Okay? That's how it needs to be. Someone has said that I mentioned this last week, you spell love T-I-M-E. So to really love someone is to invest or to spend the time that you've been given, this precious resource that cannot be manufactured, but we need to use it wisely. And after we've wisely spent our time with God, we should wisely spend our time with either our husbands or our wives. That time should be spent next. The only person I love more than I love my wife is God. And that's how it should be. So guess what? My wife doesn't mind if I spend more time with God than her. You understand that? She doesn't mind that because that's a good thing. Right? Because I'm supposed to love God more than I love her. But guess what I'm not supposed to love more than I love my wife? Football. Fishing. You know, X, just fill it in, okay? And so, what are you going to have if you have a home and a household where the wife feels like you're spending more time on something else that you love than her. It's not going to be good. Everybody understand? And wives, the same is true. If your husband feels that way, there's something wrong, right? So we've got to understand that how we allot our time is important. Now, this also filters down to the children. Because guess what we're raising? The children. And all of my children, I'll look at you right here. I am so sorry. Okay? Guess who your children are going to be like? They're going to be like you. Or some form of you. Because you're teaching them. You are who they see. You are who they hear. Right? You are who they experience. And they're going to be some form of you. And you know what? Honestly, we teach this in leadership classes. If I draw a line and let's say this silver piece on this trim here is the line. If I'm the leader and I'm right next to the line, guess where all my followers are going to be? They're going to be over the line. But if I'm back here quite a ways, and then they're going to be a little bit less stringent than I am, and they're going to be all, but they're going to be in a safe zone. I mean, think about all the decisions we make as parents and how close to the line we are. Guess where our kids are going to fall? On the other side of the line. We need to make sure that we're investing the time that we need into our families. Why? Because God wants the family unit to be successful. God wants the family unit to be strong. God wants the family unit to have a good example and a good bond, husband and wife and children. Last I checked, children were an heritage of the Lord. And last I checked, God said that when he joined man and woman together and they became one flesh, he saw that it was good. And that's how it's supposed to be. And he said, be fruitful and multiply. And guess what? That's good. But if we have a husband or if we have a wife and we have children and we're not spending the time investing in them, guess what's going to happen? Bad things are going to happen. Not the right things. Because I've made this statement many times in the ministry that I've been able to be a part of in education and now in the pastorate, that if we don't teach them, someone else will. If we aren't an example to them, someone else will. If I don't show them, someone else will. If I don't answer their questions, someone else will. And guess what? I don't trust someone else. Because they're going to tell them the wrong things. And let me just tell you this, folks. In our world today, there are way more wrong examples and way more wrong answers and way more wrong influences than there are good ones. And when we just look at where the buck stops, the reason why independent, Bible-believing, fundamental Baptist kids are leaving, because there wasn't enough real time invested in them. Someone else got an influence in there. Maybe we said, oh, I don't have time for this. I don't have time for that. I want you to realize something. Now, again, I do understand that kids have to make choices, but I'm trying to say that we can make a better effort of investing time with our spouse or with our children. You'll remember a great preacher was a baseball player before he got saved. Great preacher. Anybody know his name? Billy Sunday. Anybody know about his family heritage? Pathetic. All his kids, if you will, I'll use the term and the phrase, went to hell in a handbasket. I mean, the guy was a strong preacher. Preached against alcohol, right? And against sin and wickedness and all. I mean, I think I've seen pictures of him standing up on top of the pulpit, pointing his long finger at people and just the revivals, and you can read about it. But all of, because he didn't spend any time with his kids. He didn't spend any time. He was always preaching. He was always out there, and he lost his entire family. What a shame. He said, but he did so much for God. And listen, I understand that. I'm not judging Billy Sunday. I'm just the... What was it, Brother Losey? I wanted to say that the proof is in the pudding. But what was the correct term in the English? You remember? Oh, yeah. The proof of the pudding is the eating. That's what it was. In America, we've shortened that phrase. That we just say the proof is in the pudding. But do you understand? We can only judge what we can see. And we have a great responsibility to invest in our children. Can I tell you something, folks? The things that we waste our time on are not as important as our kids. The things that we waste our time on is not as important as our wife or as our husband. We need to spend more time investing in them. Why? It's for God. Because guess what? If my wife and I can have a better relationship with each other, and that helps us have a better relationship with God, that's a benefit to God. But it's also a benefit to us. And if my wife and I can spend more time with our children and invest more in our children, and they turn out for God, that's a glory to God. And that's how it should be. Just a few verses. Nope, I can't do it. We're out of time. I'll finish it next week. But let me just give you a couple of references to look up, okay? The rest of Ephesians that we read, okay? Ephesians 5, 28 to 33. You can also look at 1 Corinthians 7, and pretty much the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 7. You can take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, is very important as well. And then Proverbs chapter 4, Proverbs chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 6. All of these have to do with the family and the investment of time in the Christian family. You understand that the heritage of the Lord is a special thing. And if children are an heritage of the Lord, they should be a special thing. And if a husband, for you ladies, is given to you by God, is a special thing. And a wife, for you gentlemen, given by God, is a special thing. And it should be invested in properly. Let me close with this. When we first got married, I was extremely content. I don't know if I've told you all this before. I think I've told it at a marriage couples retreat. But I don't know if I've told you this before. But I was content. Because I now had a wife. And I was good. So when I got home, and if I were to go sit on the couch and watch TV, and I'm watching TV, and I have a wife here, and I'm watching what I want to watch. I'm getting a chance to do this, and I'm good. And I'm counting that as spending time with my wife. Yes, I was really stupid back then. But she wasn't good. Because I wasn't doing what I did when I was courting her. You know, I was watching the TV and I got the wife here, got the TV here. I'm watching the TV, you know, I'm happy. She wasn't happy. Come on now. Come on, guys. You've made the same mistake, haven't you? Thank you, Brother Dart. I appreciate that. No, but we've got to learn, don't we? Same thing with your kids.
You know, God wants us to be wise, redeeming the time. Here's the beauty of it all. If you've been doing it wrong all this time, fix it. It's okay. Can I tell you something? I have had to apologize to my kids. And I probably have a lot more apologizing to do. But if you realize something, don't just keep living it because you're embarrassed. Or don't just keep living in it because you don't know what to do. Just, you got to stop and start over. And we got to get some things right concerning this thing of time and our commitment to God concerning our time.